presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Sometimes Georgia coach Kirby Smart gets a bit of a bad rap for kind of keeping his cards close to the vest, doesn't like telling the media what he's thinking about certain things, and therefore many fans sometimes are also left to wonder at times, hey, you know, what's really on his mind? What's his real thought process really like? However, it's important to point out that's not always the case. It's important to point out that sometimes Kirby Smart gives you a very detailed description of what his thought process is, what his plan is. We got an example of that on Saturday, and I thought it was really interesting, and I thought it was important that we spend a couple of minutes talking about this today. Of course, we're heading towards G-Day on April 20th, and spring practice is ongoing right now. And one of the things I asked Kirby Smart on Saturday during his press conference was, given the fact that positions like running back and tight end and wide receiver, you've got a lot of guys who will be practicing in the summer who are not practicing now. At running back, it's an incoming freshman like Kenny McIntosh. It's a injured player, hopefully recovered by then, in Zamir White. Tight end, you've got Eli Wolf, the transfer, coming in. You've got Brett Scyther, the incoming freshman. Wide receiver, you've got a whole host of guys like that. It's Lawrence Cager, the transfer from Miami. It's the two freshmen, Dominic Blaylock. More on him in a moment. George Pickens, who obviously we've talked a good bit about. That's a lot of fresh bodies in here coming up in the summer that you're not able to examine right now. So the question I posed to Smart was, how important is it then for the guys who are here to make an impression on you while they have the stage to themselves? And Kirby Smart, I thought, gave a very interesting answer to that question, which we will unpack. Here is what Kirby had to say.
That's very important, but I think the question is, who are they? Because, you know, some of the guys at that position, I always say, if you start at 2 years, you got to get better, you got to grow, you got to learn new plays, maybe that Coach Coley's doing. But at the end of the day, I know Charlie Warner has played a lot of football here. I know DeAndre Swift has played a lot of football here. So they're going to practice, they're going to play, they're going to get better, they're going to compete, but it's not like they're trying to prove something. Where there's a lot, where guys got to prove something is a guy that's got somebody coming in and he's not proven. So he has to take advantage of it, because we tell him in the fall, those reps, when they become marginal, are going to the new guy to find out what he can do. So you get plenty of opportunities if you're Matt Landers, Tommy Bush, Kearse Jackson, all those guys that are – and it's the same way at DB. We just don't have any maps coming in at DB, but we're getting a ton of reps for guys that we want to find out where they are.
I think that's really interesting. Kirby Smart says, hey, here's what everybody should know about the summertime. When the summertime arrives, and to a certain extent, we kind of have a new crop of players at all three of those position groups, running back, wide receiver, tight end. When the summer rolls around, we're going to give some practice reps to some new guys. Because at that point in time, it's going to be important for me, speaking as Kirby, it's going to be important for me to evaluate what they bring to the table. So you want your reps, you want your opportunity to earn playing time, you want your opportunity to show what you're all about. Go out and prove that right now, because by the time July, August rolls around, I want to see what George Pickens can do. I want to see what Lawrence Cager can do. I want to see what Eli Wolf can do. I want to see what Kenny McIntosh can do. I want to see what a healthy Zamir White looks like moving into 2019. I want to see those guys in the summer. Doesn't mean you're out of the competition, but your chance to make a big name for yourself, your chance to make a major move up the depth chart, that's right now for you. So for these guys, as Kirby said, not Charlie Warner, because we've seen him. Not DeAndre Swift, because we've seen him. Not Tyler Simmons, J.J. Holloman. To a certain extent, we know what they can do. It's some of those other names. It's guys like that who have this chance now to prove they belong on the field in the fall before other guys come in and start trying to take an even bigger piece of that pie for that playing time. The competition's more intense in the summer than it is right now, so now's the chance to win, which is one of the things that I think makes spring practice fascinating. And to a certain extent, we don't get to see all of this on G-Day, because G-Day is a little bit different environment, but you better believe every time Kirby Smart speaks about a scrimmage that just took place on Saturday, or practices like the one that's going to take place today, you better believe that when there's conversation to be had about what's going on behind closed doors there, I'm going to be leaning in closely. I'm going to be wanting to listen very closely to that, because I do think for a lot of fan favorites, this is their time to kind of make that move and show that they are worthy of playing time and deserving of being a part of the major story for this team come fall. Take slot receiver, for instance. Take the position as that inside receiver. We know some of the names who were there and some of those guys who are trying to prove that, yeah, count me among the Tyler Simmons and the J.J. Holloman, the guys that we expect to be on the field a good bit. count me among that group. Kirby went into some detail about kind of, you know, who some of those guys are who are trying to make that impression before Dominic Blaylock gets here and before George Pickens gets here and before Lawrence Cager gets here. That battle at the slot receiver position may be as intense as anything going on with this team right now. Here's Kirby again.
D-Rob's worked in there, made some plays. Kyrus obviously has worked in there. Urban's worked in there. And that's an area that moving forward after first scrimmage, we're going to look at and say, what other pieces do we have of outside guys that could go inside to make sure we have a threat there? You know, Kyrus made a couple of plays today, but he left a couple on the table, you know, and that's where the consistency at receiver is what we need to be explosive.
I mean, I think that Kyrus Jackson is a classic example of this. You look at him, and he just looks a little different. This is kind of a big body for an inside receiver, and he was a big-time recruit coming out of Peach County, and he could very well be a big part of what this team does this year. But now's the time to show James Coley and Cortez Hankton and Kirby Smart. That's what he's all about. Heaven knows we've talked a lot about Demetrius Robertson in this conversation. Robertson, a former five-star from the class of 2016, a former freshman All-American at Cal, a high-profile transfer to UGA a year ago. Then a guy that did not play a ton last season. A lot of Georgia fans were left wondering, well, is Robertson just a bust, or is he going to have a bigger year in 2019 than he had in 2018? I think he has a chance to provide that. I think he has a chance to do that, but the time is now to do that. Because as Kirby Smart keeps warning, some of the guys that are coming in this summer are going to get long looks. One of those guys is Dominic Blaylock. It was last week on Dog Nation Daily that we highlighted some of what Kirby Smart had said about Blaylock in a previous press conference, but the chance that he could be the punt returner. But make no mistake about this, in addition to an impact on special teams, Kirby Smart's also strongly considering the possibility that Blaylock, even as a freshman when he gets here this summer, is in line to earn some very quick early playing time. Here's more of Kirby on Blaylock.
Well, we don't have him pigeonholed anywhere. We think Dom can play all three spots, slot and both outside. He's very bright. He's intelligent. He picks up things well. We think he's going to help in the return game. But it's not like we're sitting there going, he's a slot receiver. We think he can play all of them.
So they have this very, as Kirby Smart says, bright, smart freshman coming in, capable of playing all the receiver positions. I don't think you have to be a private investigator, some sort of detective, to get the indication that Kirby Smart's got big plans for Dominic Blaylock. So my hope is for fan favorites like Robertson and Kyrus, and a lot of fans really like these guys, my hope is they take advantage of the stage that they have right now to earn some credibility, to earn a reputation so that they can battle with Blaylock and Pickens and Cager once they get here. Wide receiver may be the easiest position group to understand just exactly how all of this is playing out now and how much more intense it's going to be come summer. I also want to take a moment while we're in the midst of this conversation to mention a different name. We, and I forget how many days ago this has been, talked about how many current and former Georgia players seem to bring up another wide receiver when we have these kinds of discussions. It's Matt Landers. You remember the piece from Mike Griffith at DogNation.com where all three of the former receivers in this year's NFL draft, Godwin and Ridley and Hardman, all three mention the potential for Matt Landers making a big impact this year, and those former players, a lot like current players too. We talked to Eric Stokes a couple of Saturdays ago, and when Stokes was talking about the wide receivers that really had impressed him and the guys that he's battling with at practice, Stokes mentioned one name above every other. Here's what the Georgia cornerback said then.
Of course, Matt Landers, like, that's a, like, Matt, like, we all, like, I know we all knew what type of person Matt was and all that, so I love to see the type of things that Matt doing now, because Matt is a person that's really hard to, I mean, like, he give you problems flat out as a DB.
So in the midst of this conversation about guys trying to step up in the spring, I thought it was important to bring Matt Landers into this discussion because Eric Stokes invited him into the topic, and previous Georgia receivers have invited him into the topic. So if we're under the belief right now that there are a group of skill position players for Georgia trying to make a big move while they have a chance to spotlight on them during the spring, it stands to reason that Matt Landers is a part of that. But does Kirby see Landers the same way that a lot of current and former Georgia players do? It sounds like Kirby sees some things that he likes and kind of some things that he wish were a little different. Here is Kirby on Landers.
Matt Landers had some drops and was frustrated with Matt, and then all of a sudden Matt made a couple really good plays. So, again, that's some of the inconsistencies we need to be consistent to get where we need to go. We're looking for wide receivers to step up, and you know, he made a couple really good plays, but the average play you should make every day, he had a couple of those he didn't. So we need him to grow up for us to be a good offensive football team. We've got to have vertical outside threats. I think Tyler and JJ are playing well, but it's not going to be done just by them. So the Matlanders, the Trey Blunts, the Kiaris Jacksons, all those guys have really got to step up. D-Rob, they've got to step up to make us dangerous on offense.
And to be clear, the evaluation that he's offering of Landers there is from the scrimmage that was inside Sanford Stadium this past Saturday. So I think you hear Kirby Smart lay it out pretty explicitly when it comes to wide receivers. Guys like Landers and D-Rob and Kiaris Jackson, Trey Blunt, they've got their chance to show they belong alongside the more proven commodities in that group. Guys like Tyler Simmons and J.J. Holloman, there is clear excitement about the receivers who are coming in, maybe Blaylock chief among those based on some of the stuff that Kirby Smart says. And while Kirby was pretty outspoken about that when it comes to the wide receiver position, looking back on what happened over the weekend, it's not that different at running back, where Kenny McIntosh is on the way and where Zamir White's going to be more healthy. And it's not that different at tight end, where a guy like John Fitzpatrick is trying to make a name for himself with Eli Wolf and Lawrence Cager looming. This is an exciting time for Georgia football. The roster's never been deeper than it is right now, but that means the competition has never been more intense than it is right now either. A lot of guys are working to earn their time on the playing field, and when it's all said and done, it's the program and the fan base that benefits from this competition, because the guys who are actually playing come fall Saturdays are going to be guys who've truly earned it. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, and we're obviously a lot more than a podcast. We're video, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, every day live at 10 a.m. We're radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we try to make the podcast as easy for you to find, including posting the show every day to the worldfamousdognation.com. So if you listen, if you watch, however you interact with us, even if it's only for a few minutes a day, we're just really thankful to have you as a part of Dog Nation Daily and really appreciate that. And around here, we don't just try to, you know, talk Georgia football and be super serious. We try to have a good time, too. And one of the things that we did for fun recently, going back to the start of the NCAA tournament this year, the March Madness, we wanted to do our very first ever Dog Nation Daily Bracket Contest. And we had huge number of entries. Thanks so much to everyone who wanted to be a part of this with us and just have a good time. We said, hey, we'll do a really nice Dog Nation Daily prize pack for the winner. We'll do some t-shirts for the top 10 finishers. And I think we have some of the updates on this. We've got more t-shirt updates to give out here, but some of the updates to give right now, including I'm ready to congratulate our winner. Let me show this to you. So the bracket name is Dogs by 90, which is a great, great name. The bracket entry was done by Shelt R AAA 10. Shelt R AAA 10, 1,470 points for the winner here. Congratulations to the Dogs by 90 bracket. You are the winner of the very first ever Dog Nation Daily Bracket Contest. Let me also see that graphic one more time so I can give the email in case this is a podcast listener. Go ahead and reach out to ConnorSocksRiley @gmail.com for information about how you can claim your prize. Congratulations to Shelt R, AAA 10. Email ConnorSocksRiley @gmail.com for information on this. Let me also congratulate some of our t-shirt winners here, and you're going to notice something that I think is done very intentionally here. But our top seven, we have tabulated the points on this. So I told you about Dogs by 90 being at number one. Congratulations to Sarens, I'm assuming this is, S-A-H-R-E-N-S, for the bracket coming in number two. Dogs versus Hedges by Kyle J.S. Ledge comes in at number three. B-A-0628, that is not me, from B. Allen 2012 comes in number three. Hooney 12-1 by Hooney 12, number five. Slimazella comes in at number six. That's UGA2DET. And then our buddy Connor Riley, our Dog Nation Daily producer and content creator extraordinaire, does come in number seven with his bracket in our Dog Nation Daily Bracket Contest. So Connor Riley comes in the top seven there. But all those winners minus Connor will get a t-shirt, and we'll do the rest of the top ten here coming up when we have a chance to fully tabulate those scores. We've got Jeff Sintel coming up in just a moment. One more thing I wanted to get to before we bring on Jeff. I had a chance to talk to Kirby on Saturday a little bit about Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm. And by now, everything has been kind of put out there, and it's been well documented how different this spring is for Jake Fromm than previous, and how different it is for Georgia overall. Young quarterbacks have been the big story in 2016 with Jacob Eason, 2017 with Fromm as a freshman, and last year, of course, with Justin Fields. This year, it's a very different story. There is no true competition going on. Jake Fromm is fully entrenched as the starter, and he's the kind of veteran quarterback that Georgia probably hasn't had since Aaron Murray was on campus. So how noticeable has that experience been from Smart's perspective looking at Jake Fromm this year? I thought that Kirby had an interesting answer to that question. Here is Kirby on Fromm thus far this spring.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, he understands things, and it's there's probably times that he has to be careful that he doesn't get bored, because I know defensively he knows every call we got. He hears the call. He's already got his call. He knows what the next step is from getting their call and our call half the time. But that's part of growth, and that's part of him in kind of implementing his leadership to our offense to use the experience he has to say, you know what, we're not executing well. We went three and out against the two defense. Well, that's not who we are. And I think you see him assert himself more as he's gotten more and more comfortable with it. And he's done some good things with the ball and got to make good decisions with the ball, which he's done thus far.
I think it's a really good answer from Kirby. Now, obviously, he's joking about the whole idea of being bored. But, I think it does remind you that, this is the time of year where Fromm, I guess, is sort of supposed to be bored because, I mean, he's a quarterback built for those pressure pack moments, tough road environments like Georgia's going to face in a couple games this season, postseason stuff like the SEC Championship, the College Football Playoff. It's those pressure pack moments that Jake Fromm's built for, and I think the Georgia this season is certainly going to use that experience to its advantage, and I can't wait to see what Fromm does this year. By the way, the winner of our Dog Nation Daily Bracket Contest, actually watching right now, Austin Sheltra. Am I saying that last name right? Austin Sheltra. So, Austin, congratulations to you. Thanks for checking in on the show today, and we'll have a Dog Nation Daily Prize Pack on the way for you. Great job picking the tournament, by the way. That's really good stuff to see. We're going to hear more on Kirby Smart on the program a little bit later on. Another update from him on a key position group. For now, though, there's a big announcement involving Marlowe's and a lot to get into with Jeff Sintel regarding UGA recruiting. So let's speak to him right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Well, hello to our good friend and confidant, Jeff Sintel, an expert on the Georgia recruiting battles for the 2020 class and a great, great resource for us here on Dog Nation Daily. I will also say, as we get rolling on our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all, that in a couple of minutes, I've got a major announcement that I want to make involving a gigantic event coming up at a Marlowe's Tavern really soon that I'm really, really excited about. So we will do all of that coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, let me just say good morning to Jeff. Jeff, thanks for being with us and being a part of our conversation here today. I apologize that you are not among our bracket winners, but we appreciate your participation nonetheless.
Well, hey, good morning, Brandon. Gigantic and mammoth, that's pretty big stuff here for Marlowe's and the tell-all in our association. And hey, true confession, true disclosure here, I have no idea what Brandon is about to tell us.
Well, you're going to hear about it in just a second. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great, great event to tell you about. Before that, though, there are a couple of things that I do think you know a lot about, so let's talk about those for a moment. One of the things that we talked about last week was the possibility that it could be a big week for Clemson with recruiting, given the huge number of visitors expected to be on hand for their spring game. For the most part, it kind of seems that Georgia has dodged that bullet, I guess. I saw where Fred Davis, the good-looking defensive back, committed to Clemson. But, I mean, it doesn't seem to me that Georgia was necessarily all that involved with Davis to begin with. How big of a loss is it from a Georgia perspective that a good cornerback from down in Jacksonville has committed to Clemson? Is this even considered a loss for Georgia? How involved, from your perspective, was UGA with Davis?
Well, I think maybe the reason why Georgia wasn't in bigger with Davis was because Clemson was always in so big, perhaps maybe from the jump. You're really talking about a top 35 player here in the country on the composite, the nation's number three corner. And, look at what Clemson has done. Let's face it, folks, if Georgia wants to be what everybody following this program wants it to be, Georgia is going to match up with Clemson in December or January down the road. That seems inevitable. And look what Clemson has added. Kyler McMichael, Andrew Booth. They got Fred Davis in this class as well. They also had a lot of other big-name targets in Clemson for their spring game. And you also have to add R.J. Mickens to a class. Now, folks, Clemson already had the number two recruiting class in the country, and they've added the nation's number one safety and the nation's number three cornerback kind of around the swirl of their spring game. And Clemson is just kind of reaping the benefit of winning a national title with a bright future on hand still as well, with the golden locks of a franchise NFL quarterback to be.
So let me tell you what I said yesterday on our show, and let me tell, and you can tell me if you agree with this or not. I said that I count it, based on my current level of expectation, as a minor win for UGA that Brian Brzee, the five-star defensive lineman, nation's number one player of the class of 2020, the fact that Brzee doesn't commit to Clemson after the spring game this weekend, I kind of take that as a minor win, which is not to say that I knew that he was going to commit or even expected him to, but I guess I was bracing for the possibility of the worst. The fact that that did not happen, the fact that Georgia stays alive in this for now, to a certain extent, given my level of expectation, that for me is kind of a minor win. Is that a correct assessment of that situation in your, from your perspective?
I think the minor win, considering the way Brzee has been trending and leaning for a while, the minor win would be getting Brzee back to Georgia for G-Day. And Clemson's a little bit different. They don't do silent commits. If you're committed to Clemson, then you're publicly committed to Clemson, and then Clemson is publicly committed to you. I mean, with the case in Davis, I spoke to him a couple of times on the trail when I spoke to him at the Future 50 in Orlando in January. Yeah, there's the urge to just put up a story and, you know, get some clicks where Georgia seemed like they were in the mix but not really front and center in his decision. And I think I came back and told BA when you were asking about Fred Davis once, I just kind of shook my head and said that was not going to go the way you and your program wants it to go. And I conversely, there was never a Fred Davis story up on Dog Nation because I just didn't feel it was genuine to start touting about Fred Davis and the nation's number three corner with Georgia. You know, that's kind of not my thing. So for Z, I think the minor win is getting him back in campus for G-Day. That would be the minor win.
One of the things I said yesterday as well, you know, Kirby on Saturday was talking about the defensive line, what they do have, what they don't have. And one of the things he said was, right now we don't have, and I think his phrase was, that quick, twitchy three technique. And given some of the things you've said about Brzee as of late, he's talking about Brzee when he says that, right? Because Brzee is going to line up inside. If he were to go to a place like Georgia, he is more of an inside player now just because of his sheer size. And he certainly seems to check the boxes off for quick and twitchy, which is a phrase that Kirby and a lot of coaches use a lot. So to me, I don't think it's a stretch of the imagination to say that that Kirby says – is thinking about Brzee when he says we don't have that guy, but we're currently recruiting for that position. That to me seems like a veiled reference towards Brzee. Would you take that the same way?
Well, I think that's correct, Brandon, to a point, but that's maybe more of Dog Nation Daily Lama having his eyes on the horizon and not what's kind of right in front of you in A gap and B gap. I think what he's referring to specifically, because he's going through spring drills and wincing about what he doesn't have, is I think he's thinking a lot about Trayvon Walker,
yeah,
a guy that could definitely play the three technique at a high level. And, you know, even though Brzee just recently got shifted by the composite to a defensive tackle, and let's face it, folks, when you're 290 pounds, I don't care if you can dunk a basketball like Brandon Adams in his prime. When you're dunking a basketball and you're 290 pounds in high school, you're going to be an interior defensive player in college. The other names to think about, Brandon, and I think you're going to feel a little bit sporty once some of the practice reports start rolling out in August or so, mid-August or so. Not just Trayvon Walker. You got to remember the triage for Georgia and the defensive line, the players they don't have yet in spring drills. You're talking about Trayvon Walker. You're talking about Zion Loeb. And you're also talking about Bill Norton and Tymon Mitchell.
Yeah.
That's a four-pack of incoming bullets for Georgia's defense. It's going to really help out the depth in the interior D-line rotation for Trey Scott and new defensive coordinator Dan Lanning.
So before I make our Marlins announcement, let me kind of follow up on this in one quick moment. You know how high I am on Trayvon Walker. I've said before that if you gave me a portion of future earnings of anybody on the Georgia roster right now, with apologies to Nolan Smith, I might take Trayvon Walker's future contract value over Nolan Smith's. I love Trayvon Walker as a prospect. But if we want to make a comparison between Walker and Brazee, two good friends, by the way, if we wanted to make a comparison between them for a moment, obviously Trayvon's plenty quick and plenty twitchy. He's a really, really good athlete. But is he potentially as good of a run stopper as Brazee might be? I know you're making, you know, very different comparisons here because of their high school films, different parts of the country. But do you think that Walker projects, because he right now is probably a little smaller than Brazee, do you think he projects to be as potentially as good of a run stopper as what Brazee might be able to be?
I think he can, Brandon. I think it's probably maybe not going to be, his game is not to be massive and soak up blocks. I think his game is more knifing and penetrating and getting into the backfield with his twitchiness and his athleticism. I mean, when you're talking about Walker, he's definitely a bigger and better athlete than even Brian Brazee. Simple reasoning here. It's not his high school track prowess. It's not his basketball court game, which is very, very strong at an all-state level. It's simply that when you look at Trayvon Walker, and that's where you were kind of sensing that future earnings comment, I believe. When you look at Trayvon Walker, there's really nothing to fix. 6'5", probably going to be a chiseled 305, 310, or 300 when he's at his full peak of his ability at Georgia. Nobody's going to sit there and say Trayvon Walker isn't the ideal or the prototype for anything. Even with a tremendous talent, you got Nolan Smith just wreaking havoc, being a wrecking ball right now in certain moments for Georgia in spring practice with his energy, with his quickness, the way he disrupts plays. People are going to look at Nolan and say 6'3", 235. Like to get a little bit longer, a little bit bigger. Nobody's going to have those issues there with Walker. And again, Zion Logue, Bill Norton, and Timon Mitchell. That's a nice little help on the way from Calvary coming with the 2019 class to beef up that defensive line.
Yeah, I think that's really well said, Jeff. There's a lot more recruiting information to get to with Jeff as part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all. But before that, let me tell you all about a big event coming up to Marlowe's next week. This is really exciting. We're going to be back at the Marlowe's Tavern in Dunwoody again. We'll give you all the details here. It's coming up a week from Wednesday. So it's Wednesday, April 17th from 6 to 8 p.m. It's the Marlowe's in Dunwoody. 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. That's 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. What's going to make this event really fun is we're welcoming in a special guest there that night, John Stinchcomb, the great former Georgia Bulldog, a terrific analyst, a good friend of Dog Nation, is going to be with us that night for the entirety of the evening from 6 to 8 p.m., reminiscing about his G-Day memories, his look at what the team has going on right now. It's going to be an awesome, awesome conversation. You're talking about a great guy. John loves being at these Marlowe's events because he loves meeting Dog fans. So if you'd like to meet a great former Georgia Bulldog, one of the guys that's still very influential around the program right now, John Stinchcomb with us next Wednesday. That's a week from this Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. on April 17th for our spring game preview at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody, 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. Jeff, I know you know John well. How much fun is talking football with him, and how much great insights he going to have heading towards G-Day next Saturday for our spring game preview coming up next Wednesday?
It's always interesting talking to John. First of all, he kind of clearly has a great sense of himself. He thinks about what he was like coming out of high school. Definitely not 265, 270, 280. And he was like, he wouldn't get recruited now by Sam Pittman in this year's Georgia. And, you know, when you say the Stinchcomb name, the thing that just went through my mind when you were opening up that topic there is, you know, there are some families, and I don't know if Georgia football kind of has there's a certain family name that sort of feels like a little bit more like royalty or a little bit more like DGD. I would say to most of the fan base, that's the Bailey name, that's the Edwards name, that's the Stinchcomb name. You're just talking about more than one player. You're talking about families that keep sending their sons to Georgia and who made a great impact on the program, past, present, and future. They were impacting Georgia football and around Georgia football, even when they're playing days. Even when they're playing days when in the NFL, even when those are done, they keep coming back, keep supporting the program. And the Stinchcomb family is definitely one of those that are great ambassadors for the University of Georgia.
Yeah, Jeff, that is absolutely 100% right. All right, let me get back to recruiting with you for a moment. And you know that I like it when five-star recruits talk about Georgia, especially on social media. I think that's really fun. However, what you may or may not be aware of is there's a certain degree of too much talk where I actually start to think it kind of comes across like a bad thing, like, ooh, maybe they don't mean it quite as much. And, you know, we talked on yesterday's show about what the five-star cornerback who I really like, Keely Ringo, the two linebackers who I love, Justin Flo and Mecale Sherman. I love all those guys. I'd love for them to be a part of the 2020 class for Georgia, and to a certain extent, I like the fact they're talking about Georgia on social media, on Twitter, as it were. And if you're watching on video, you just saw those tweets. I like all that stuff, but when they start talking too much about package deals, that feels like put on for me. And I don't mean that critically of them, because obviously they're just having fun going through their recruiting process. It's some of us who at times take this stuff too seriously, but I start to think maybe they mean it less once they say it as much as they've said it recently. What was your take? I know you wrote about this, but what was your take on all these guys talking up Georgia on social media over the weekend?
I guess I would say, first of all, it's a little bit more than just, hey, look at me. I'm trying to get some gifs or gifts, depending on whether you're North Georgia or South Georgia there, you know, sent back to me by an appreciative fan base. But see, with all these names, number one, they have been to Georgia before. They plan on going back. I think almost all of them are going to be there at G-Day as well. But the other thing, Brandon, that sort of feels like to me here is it feels a little clicky. And I mean this in the way of, they know, it's funny, a lot of these kids have been in group chats with one another for forever. I think I remember the first 2020 group chat went up in the year 2017, I believe, with lots of elite prospects kind of just sharing information and like, hey, this coach told me this. What did this coach tell you? And they just kind of compared notes and had their own information resource there for everyone to use through a network. But I think some recruits, they know they want to play in big ball games in, on Saturdays in college. I think some recruits see and hear and know where a lot of guys are going, a stream of guys are going, and then they think, well, that's not my thing, but let me see if I can get my own thing and my own, you know, dance team or whatever to compete with those guys. And this to me feels a little more like that than just internet tomfoolery. You know, Brandon, sometimes we talk about these things and I wonder what Brandon would be like as a recruit on Twitter. I mean, 18-year-old Brandon, 17-year-old Brandon, I mean, you would probably consider it a bad day if you don't have 19 emojis on your Twitter feed going back and forth between fan bases. And
yeah.
I know you would never troll the fan base or anything like that.
Oh, I would never. No, never. Not at all. And I say that with full sarcasm. Yeah. If I had the kind of attention at my disposal they have at their disposal, I'd be using it every 5 seconds. And when you talk about, you know, potential friendships and tight bonds forming with these players, it does bring to mind for me the 2017 class for Georgia, which I think had similar bonds on both sides of the ball. You know, Fromm kind of led the way for the offense. LeCount kind of led the way for the defense. But these were like legit friendships that did kind of form. So as skeptical as I am about the whole idea of package deals and guys who are definitely going to play together, for the most part, I think those things fizzle. But there's no denying that the first really big breakthrough class at Georgia was really built on the back of some pretty strong friendships, right?
Yeah, and you know, with my previous answer, I wanted to leave a little bit back tucked away because I thought maybe you might follow up on the thought. So here's the other thing I find really interesting about that. Number one, these are not in-state Bulldogs or Southeast Bulldogs chatting up to Georgia on Twitter. These are out-of-region,
yeah,
national elite guys on Twitter.
Good point.
And that's something different altogether. And then the other thing, when you want to talk about a pack mentality and, you know, guys joining up to kind of deal with some of these other AAU teams that are forming in the midst of some of these recruiting classes, definitely not saying one that has a slide anywhere near their football complex or anything like that. But the other thing I see, Brandon, is pretty simply this. These are all defensive players. You're talking about cornerback in Dwight McLaughlin. You're talking about a cornerback in Keely Ringo. You're talking about an outside linebacker, inside linebacker hybrid like Mecale Sherman. So, and then you've got another inside backer in Justin Flo kind of filling out a lot of these four-star frequent flyer miles across the country for the Georgia staff. Excuse me, five-star there. But you see all these things and you go, hey, this is a little bit different. B, I'm sure Brandon would rather have these guys tweeting about Georgia and package deals on Twitter rather than tweeting about Clemson or Ohio State or somewhere else.
That's for sure.
Yeah, so I think the other thing there is it's going to be very interesting. You look at the linebacker position. Some of that stuff I dropped in that Who With It story last night was kind of my vision about maybe I see the 2021 slots on the 2020 class shaping up. I can see scenarios where Georgia only takes three total linebackers, inside linebacker, outside linebacker. They might possibly only take one corner and one safety if it's the right corner, like a guy like Keely Ringo. And, you know, we started talking about him pretty heavy over the last couple weeks. I even moved him way up from, you know, pipe dream to reality on kind of our top targets list a little bit last week on Before the Hedges. But you talk about best pure football player in the class. When I look at that young man's film and for his ability to lock down a receiver like a five-star receiver, but also go mano a mano with a five-star tight end like Arik Gilbert or Darnell Washington and just erase dudes, I don't know if he's not on my very short list for the best pure football player,
not just prospect
that Georgia's recruiting this year.
That's a strong statement for sure. Let me finish up, Jeff, with a couple of previews of things you either have currently on the site or coming up at DogNation.com. A little birdie has told me that you might have an update for us on five-star tight end Arik Gilbert at DogNation.com today. You know that is attention-grabbing, especially for me and many of the folks who listen and watch our program. Don't expect you to give the whole store away here, but any taste you can offer of what's going on with the Gilbert camp right now?
Yeah. So Gilbert, you know, spoke at the Atlanta opening regional, and he did a lot of media. Again, Arik is very gracious with his time, but for folks like in the media tribe, but that's what everybody's going to hear, say, and collect. So I went and let's just say that I spoke to a key family member in the Gilbert on Team Gilbert, kind of gotten their thoughts on the decision and how he views Georgia and everything else. And then I'm going to mix that together with some of Gilbert's thoughts right now about his recruiting. And I think that maybe will offer folks maybe a bigger picture or a more complete picture with all the hues and colors and everything else about what Arik Gilbert in Georgia actually feels like and looks like right now for the 2020 class.
Boy, that's a fun read. Can't wait to see that at DogNation.com. And then finally, Jeff, I hope people will check out your story with Akiola Agumbi at DogNation.com. Really, really funny look at just how far Sam Pittman's willing to go to make a recruit feel comfortable on campus. This one's unique. It's not like many of these visits go, but it was entertaining nonetheless. And so, Jeff, I know you enjoyed this young man. You've called him maybe the most interesting recruit in the entire 2020 class, and his Georgia visit certainly seems to live up to that billing, does it not?
Yeah, I think it was basically, let's use some Masters, because Masters is on my mind this week with maybe a lot of dudes in my demographic. But the thing with him, I think he's interesting because, A, he's a highly rated prospect when his team throws the ball about 3 to 5 times per season. He's just 16, and his favorite songs are Hooked on a Feeling and Escape, the Pina Colada song. I think with Akiola Agumbi, the thing that's going to be crucial here is he's got an official visit coming this weekend to Oklahoma. And that Oklahoma is really in his kitchen and his grill big about. That's one of the schools that are really big in his thought bubble. I think Georgia is really big there in his thought bubble as well. But to kind of carry that Masters theme along with this point I'm making right now, I think Georgia was already sitting about 4 shots under with Agumbi. And I think this is maybe round 3. And Georgia only shot par or maybe shot 1 under par. They didn't make the huge move that maybe to sizably increase the appeal with Agumbi. So I think that's something to watch there. I mean, Georgia basically held serve, had a great visit. Be very interesting to see how long Akiola continues his recruitment, especially past an Oklahoma official coming this weekend. To me, having spoken to both young men after their visits, and you know, Cedric Von Prawn and Akiola Agumbi are definitely two guys very high on Georgia's OL board, interior OL board for 2020. It kind of felt to me like Cedric Von Prawn left that Georgia trip feeling like he was an amazingly huge priority And I don't know if Akiola feels that way. Maybe he just feels the same good vibes, but those good vibes haven't multiplied maybe like gremlins as they should after an unofficial visit.
All right, Jeff, before we say goodbye to you, let me remind folks one more time that a week from tomorrow, we're going to be back at the Marlowe's Tavern in Dunwoody for our spring game preview. It's Wednesday, April 17th, 6 to 8 p.m. Please make plans to join us at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody, 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. That's 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. We'll be getting ready for G-Day that Saturday, and we have a very special guest on hand, John Stinchcomb, the great former Georgia Bulldog, to reminisce about his G-Day memories and to look ahead to what the 2019 season of the Dogs is going to look like and what kind of preview we get of all that at G-Day. John Stinchcomb is going to be great with that. Jeff, thanks so much for your time here on our program today. We appreciate the recruiting insight. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you at DogNation.com and catching up with you again soon as well.
Hey, man, quick early G-Day predictions really fast. Number one, three to five catches at least by the tight end.
Okay.
And a Nolan Smith sack.
Oh, there you go.
Logging that one in.
Good predictions from Jeff Sintel. That makes April 20th seem even more fun.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Great from Jeff Sintel, including the predictions at the end. I love the idea of throwing to those tight ends on G-Day, especially if guys like Darnell Washington and Reek Gilbert are watching. You want to make sure they see that the tight end is going to be a big part of this offense. I don't mind that at all from Jeff Sintel. Really good stuff. As we transition here to our SEC Through, I'll remind you we've got more coming up from Georgia coach Kirby Smart in today's program, an update on outside linebackers, a guy that was not seen at practice last week, what's going on with him, and a guy that is apparently being seen doing some really good things. Kirby Smart will tell us more about that coming up in just a moment. By the way, let me also give a shout-out to our friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. You know, damp basement, cracked foundation, wet crawl space. Our friends at ESOG do a really good job of taking care of all of that. They got a full-time engineer on staff. When it comes to this serious, serious work, you don't want that going to anybody else because, let's face it, these fly-by-night companies, they don't have that level of expertise. Who knows how the work gets done? So Engineered Solutions of Georgia, we trust them because they have that full-time engineer. Check them out online. Or actually, give them a call. Very easy number to remember, 678-ESOG-NOW. That's 678-ESOG-NOW. All right, let me talk for a moment about a story that we talked a little bit about yesterday. And that is what's going on with Nick Saban, where Saban goes on this rant on Saturday about, you know, guys that leave school early and how his message to recruits has now changed, that from his viewpoint, they're coming to school to prepare themselves for the day. They don't play football anymore, and was a little critical of, you know, guys that left school and didn't get drafted in the first round. The insinuation was Ronnie Harrison. Harrison, as we explained to you yesterday, got very upset about that on Twitter, talking about coaches basically, you know, almost seeming like they're in it for themselves more so than being in it for the players. And, you know, you continue to watch the fallout from this, and I think that it's pretty clear that from a public perception standpoint, which is all that matters when it comes to recruiting, from a public perception standpoint, Saban is taking a major L on all this kind of stuff. And I think it's important for me to remind you that when I go on like the Feinbaum show and I get criticized for saying that Saban is old and that Saban's going to be gone from Alabama sooner than some Alabama fans want to think he is, it's stuff like this that I'm talking about. That I think the older you get, the more difficult it becomes for you to read the room. You know, we all know the old person that just kind of doesn't really care how the words they use are taken. We typically say they are set in their ways. You know, I think the older you get, sometimes it's a little bit difficult to get a grasp of and a sense of how perception is changing. And we live in a day and age where perception has definitely changed in terms of the coach being the guy that possesses all knowledge and what he says is what's right and players just have to do whatever the coach says. If you look around the world of college football, that's not the way things are anymore. Guys want to go to the NFL in some cases, whether they're going to be a first-round pick or not, because they want to, whether it's start the clock towards their second contract or just get paid some money for playing the game. I think you see a younger, more energetic Kirby Smart who's handled all of this way better because he's been very, I think, somewhat hands-off, really, about some of his guys that left school after this year, and he's got a lot of them going into the NFL draft too, including some that maybe didn't get the world's greatest draft evaluation, but Smart's not pitching a fit about that. He's letting them do their thing, whereas Nick Saban comes across a little bit white-knuckled here, almost like he's trying to keep a tight grasp on, a tight grip on the players in his program. You know, one of his former employees has even kind of taken a shot at him too. Lane Kiffin on Twitter says, if 60 juniors got second and third round grades, how would they all go in the top 15 if they come back? Some come back and go in worse rounds than their junior grades were. Kiffin says, I love it when kids leave and fulfill their dreams. What do you say if they get hurt and lose? He says, facts. And so he's basically calling out Nick Saban on all of this. A little critical of Saban here. And, you know, Kiffin I don't think is wrong, nor is he an idiot. I think he knows what's going to curry more favor with him with current players. I think Saban kind of comes across looking really bad on this. And as has been suggested, I hope that Georgia uses this to its advantage in the recruiting trail. I do think that Saban's ripe to be negatively recruited on this. Let me squeeze in a couple of other SEC through stories, considering I kind of went long on that one. I saw where the former five-star signee at Florida, Antonius Clayton, who never really made much of an impact with the Gators, has now announced his transfer to Georgia Tech to play with a defensive coordinator that initially recruited him to Florida. Of course, Jeff Collins, the Georgia Tech coach. I actually don't even really have anything snarky to say about this. I think it's a pretty good move for Georgia Tech. I mean, odds are Clayton will be much better at Tech than he was at Florida, even with a coach that presumably knows his skill set a little bit better. But it's worth a shot. I love transfer players, especially guys who have raw talent who maybe haven't put it together yet. I think it's worth a shot for Tech. And boy, if you're a Tech fan, how much do you love the fact that Collins is trying to be in the mix now after more than a decade of Paul Johnson essentially not even trying? On the player acquisition standpoint, it is a new era at Tech. I don't think it's going to make the Jackets all that much better anytime soon, but to see them going after players we've heard of is a big, big change for them. One more story that I'll get to. I did see where, I guess this is official now, Rick Barnes is staying at Tennessee. The rumor was he'd been offered up to $5 million a year to coach at UCLA. We don't, I believe, know what the contract terms that are going to keep him in Knoxville, but he has turned down the, historically speaking, best college basketball job of them all, UCLA. Probably doesn't really reflect that in modern times quite as much. Pac-12 just doesn't have the financial resources at its disposal the SEC does. But Barnes decides he wants to stick it out in Knoxville. So the SEC is a basketball league. All of a sudden, it's flexing its muscles in a way that a couple of years ago would have just seemed impossible. But Georgia goes out and gets some big-time recruits. Tennessee fights off UCLA to hold on to its coach. Other programs hiring kind of interesting new coaches. Auburn making a run to the Final Four. This is a pretty interesting time for SEC basketball, and I think it would kind of be cool to see Georgia in the mix of all of that. All right, for the second day in a row, I'm going to have to postpone. At some point in time, I'm going to talk about these spring games from this past Saturday, but we are out of time on that portion of this as well. We'll kind of close up the SEC through. And y'all want to hear about Kirby Smart instead, so let's just do that anyway. So one of the, I think, breakout stars of this spring, and I'll use that phrase loosely because the truth is we don't get to see that much of practice, but the reviews seem to be really positive for the junior college transfer, Jermaine Johnson. This is a guy who could be a part of a much improved, very formidable pass rush for Georgia this season. But as it stands right now, Johnson's dealing with a bit of an injury. He was not spotted at practice on Thursday when that was open for media. And on Saturday, Smart did give us a little bit of an update on Johnson. Here's what he said.
He got a sprained ankle. I mean, he sprained his ankle in the, I guess, the last time I talked to y'all, whenever that was. So he was not able to practice. But he had a foot injury coming in from junior college, and he didn't get to practice kind of during the bowl practices. And then he kind of re-injured that during our practices. But we think he's going to be fine. I think he should be back in the next couple of days.
So that's obviously good news because, I mean, as much as I joke about him being the breakout star of spring, the truth is I do think the compliments that have been tossed his way are seemingly warranted given what people have seen from him and just the expectation that he has to be the nation's number one junior college prospect from the previous year. Johnson's a really interesting guy. But I guess as Georgia gets back on the practice field today, I guess what's also on my mind here a little bit is how we've talked about a lot of these Georgia outside linebacker pass rush type guys a lot for good and for bad reasons. You know, Johnson and Nolan Smith, the two incoming guys and the newcomers who have turned a lot of heads. You've got the situation with Robert Beal and Brent Cox that by now that's a topic that's been exhausted because they got into a little bit of trouble, and so they've gotten a lot of attention. But it's another guy that maybe I'm more guilty of than anybody else, just not giving enough attention to, and that is the pretty impressive recruit that spent most of the 2018 season injured, Azeez Ojulari, out of the powerhouse program of Marietta, a guy who got a chance to be a part of what happened during the Sugar Bowl after not getting a lot of opportunity to be on the field before that. And all of a sudden, when you think about impact pass rushers for Georgia, maybe let's give a little bit more attention to this program to what Azeez Ojulari might be able to do. After all, as Kirby Smart explained this weekend, I know Connor Riley's written about this at DogNation.com, Ojulari is one of those guys that used that experience late at the end of the year last year to maybe show a little bit of a preview of what he might be able to do a lot more of in 2019. Here is Smart on that subject once again.
Yeah, I think he's transitioned really smooth. I think the bowl practices for he and Divide and some of those young players, it's almost made them like an experienced vet because they got all that work and they had really not played all year. And then they were able to go play the whole game like a starter, and that helped his confidence. Now he's playing better, not where he needs to be. I mean, he's got to get more physical. He's got to be able to play on Andrew and Isaiah, but he's playing a lot better because of what he did for the bowl game as opposed to like just starting now.
Yeah, I think that's really important what Smart says there at the end. Remember, for guys like Azeez Ojulari or any of these guys we're going to discuss, look at who the Georgia offensive tackles are. It's Andrew Thomas and Isaiah Wilson. These are future very highly drafted players. They're former freshman All-Americans. In the case of Wilson, he's a former five-star recruit himself. Thomas was a very high four-star and good from the moment he stepped on campus at UGA. I wrote about this on Sunday at DogNation.com. For a defensive line, and we'll include pass rush in this just a moment, for a defensive line and pass rush, kind of a front seven, essentially, trying to be better in 2019 than it's been, don't discount the value of battling against a really good Georgia offensive line as they step towards doing that. And that battle continues today with the Dogs back on the practice field. All right, a couple things to tell you on our way out the door here today. First of all, around here we believe that a good Georgia fan is a Gatorade. We think it's Georgia's most important rivalry, and we just love celebrating every day the fact that for a good long while now, it's been Dogs on top in this one in a big way. 892 days. That's how long it's been. So those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. It's our Gator Hater Updater. We provide it for you every day here on Dog Nation Daily, and we love watching that number go up. Really excited about that. Something else that I'm really excited about. Tomorrow, Dog Nation Daily will be live in Augusta, Georgia. Getting a chance to go to the Masters Par 3 tomorrow afternoon, in the afternoon, and looking forward to doing the show from Augusta before that. So tune in tomorrow for us on location in Augusta. And if you're getting a chance to head over to Augusta this week, hope you enjoy that as well. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.